I want to share with you a vision. A vision that is absolutely magnificent, especially on a sunshiny day. When you stand on the Mount of Olives and look at the walled city of Jerusalem, you're literally captivated. And you're drawn, your eyes are drawn to the very center of the wall. It's that image that you've seen many times in pictures. Of course, with the Dome of the Rock, with that gold dome. But the wall built by the Turks upon the original walls. There's a double portal in the center of the wall. It's called the Golden Gate, or the Peace Gate. Ironically, in the year 2000, the ground near this gate collapsed, revealing the ancient gate directly below the newer one, which was built by the Turks. In the time of Jesus, there was a stone bridge that led from the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, over to the Golden Gate. According to tradition, this was probably the route that Jesus used to enter the city on several occasions, but especially on Palm Sunday. On his triumphant entry, as we know, he came from the Mount of Olives, from Bethany, and the Mount of Olives on the colt of a donkey, into the city. Well, the current Golden Gate has been walled up and closed because of traditions and prophecies that say that the Messiah will enter Jerusalem through that very gate. The Turks and Muslims sealed it up so that he would not be able to enter. Well, I'd say they're a little late. He already has, praise God. Besides, do you think that if Jesus wanted to walk through brick, it would be a difficulty? It wouldn't stop him. Fact remains that the Messiah, the anointed one of God, has already triumphantly entered those gates to the cries of Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. You're looking like, Father John, what are you talking? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. Whenever you hear the word Adonai, it means Lord. And whenever it's referenced, the word Adonai in the New Testament, it's talking about Jesus. Well, these important words would be echoed in today's Holy Gospel as Jesus grieves over the failure of the people of Israel to listen to the call of God in their lives. Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing." He goes on to say, "Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. Well, he was, of course, the house that would be desolate was the destruction of the temple that would come. And, of course, the destruction of everything in Jerusalem by 70 AD. God, through the prophets, spoke time and time again to the people of Israel with his message of salvation, the message of love. But time after time, the people would not listen. They apparently couldn't believe that God could love them that much. The prophets came, they told the people of the love that God had, they told them to turn from their evil ways, to repent, to obey God, and to gather under his love. But they would not. God tried over and over again, but the people turned a deaf ear to him. So God decided that if the people wouldn't listen to his messengers, then he would come directly to earth and speak to them himself. Some people listened, but many more did not. They apparently could not understand such love. They could not accept such willingness on the part of God himself to love them. And they fought against it. Each time God called to his people, they could not believe that God didn't want something from them in return, but that God only wanted to give them something. His blessings, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, himself. It's so sad that the Jewish people of Jesus' day did not listen to the call of God. How much sadder it is today for those people, despite knowing the whole story, still do not hear the call of God on their lives, their eternal lives. God is calling all of us to hear his word that frees us from selfishness, that frees us from letting our culture dictate to us, that frees us from our following the way of our neighbors. He frees us from all that so that we might follow him, so that we might live in his love, so that we might accept his forgiveness and accept his mercy, all because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf on the cross at Calvary. God calls us to let him lead us through life's journey. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode down the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey, a colt, in fulfillment of the words from the prophet Zechariah. Your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious, is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. On that Sunday, Jesus rode to hosannas, to the celebration, to the joy and the delight of the people. But it couldn't even last 1 week. Every Sunday, we echo the words of the people of Jerusalem. While I'm at the altar, we sing the Sanctus, singing Hosanna, and the words, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then we finish with Hosanna in the highest. We'll be singing that in just a little while. The term Hosanna is a Hebrew word that mixes exuberant praise to Almighty God with a prayer for God to save his people right now. The chant of Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord brings to mind Psalm 118, verses 24 and 26. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118. God knew what he was doing when he gave those words to David. All the way back in the Old Testament, the Son of Man had come to the holy city of God, the holy city of David, and was recognized as king. But they weren't ready for that kind of king. That's why it didn't last but a week. They were expecting a deliverer who was going to come in riding on a white horse and not on a donkey. A conqueror, not at all expecting what was before them. The events of that coming week when this king would radically redefine kingship and royalty. A model for royalty that neither Israel nor the rest of the world was used to or they were ready for. The people with their chanting and waving of palm branches were bestowing the kingship in the line of the house of David. And in less than 6 days, Jesus would receive his crown, a crown of thorns. In today's Holy Gospel, some Pharisees come running to Jesus. Remember, not all Pharisees were bad people. Not all Pharisees were trying to trip up Jesus. Remember Nicodemus, who snuck out at night to visit Jesus and ask about how one must be born again? And then Jesus told him those famous words, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. These Pharisees, by the way, apparently had Jesus' best interest at heart. you'll see that if you read the gospel and follow into following pages, you'll see that immediately after this, Jesus had dinner at the home of a Pharisee. These Pharisees said to Jesus, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox." That wasn't a compliment, of course. "I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal." Wow. You see 3 days pop up from time to time in the scriptures, especially pointing to Jesus. Jesus died on a Friday, and he freed souls. On a Saturday, he took the devil straight on. But on Sunday, he finished his goal. "In any case," Jesus said, "I must keep on going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem." Jesus was telling the world he was not going to die in the Galilee, but in Jerusalem. He knew, as everyone did, that Herod's only claim to royalty was because the Romans put his father there, Herod the Great, from nowhere, a place called Edom, just to have a man in their pocket in the far east region of their empire. Jesus' response also points to the fact, again, that he will die at the hands of the authorities, but it won't be in the Galilee, it will be in Jerusalem. His famous words from Jesus are recorded in both Luke 13 and in Matthew 23, 36 through 39. The frustration of a parent who wants to protect their children like a mother hen. A mother hen would, if there was a fire, gather the chicks under her wings to protect them, ready to give her life in order to save the chicks. Jesus, unfortunately, would be abandoned by the chicks, his very own people. And then he cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left desolate." And then he said those words, "I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" We can see with amazing clarity what Jesus' journey to Jerusalem is going to mean. Israel's greatest crisis is coming, and Jesus is offering an urgent summons to repent, to listen to his message of love, of mercy and forgiveness, and of peace. It's the only way for Jerusalem, for the world, to avoid the disaster that would come because of persistent rebellion. Jerusalem would be wiped out. Jews would be scattered all over the world. Jesus' intention now is to go to Jerusalem and, like the hen with her chickens, to take upon himself the full force of that disaster which he's predicting for the nation and the temple. Jesus will sacrifice himself for the many he tries to gather to himself, and they will not see him again until later, when the world would recognize and understand. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai."